We'll be in 2 Kings chapter 4, if you'd like to cue that up here. But we are here today to promote and to sort of put in your mind the Smite campaign. Now, the first question we get is, why did you pick such a violent name? And it's only an acronym. It means Summer Missionary Intern Training and Evangelism. And it is our home missions trip that doubles as a vacation Bible school, bus ministry, parks ministry, but it's really so much more. You know, there's two focuses for Smite. It is to help build your church and help build our young people. Our goal every year is to try to evangelize the lost, and prayerfully the families would be added to your congregation here. This is always a goal. Every year is a little bit different. And I'll just give you some things that God has done in the past. I can't exactly promise this will happen this year, but all I can say is that we will try our best. We'll seek the Lord. We'll marinate the entire campaign in prayer, and many times in tears as well, because we care. We care specifically about our sister churches here in Ohio in particular. That is actually a side blessing. We do love to minister in Ohio. We're Clevelanders here. We're just a couple hours apart. And I think we're all rooting for the same football team tomorrow. So maybe some of us, yeah, from what I hear. But as far as that's concerned. So either way, in 2024, that was last year, we had 29 people saved in a town called Willingboro, New Jersey. And I'll give you some extra information at the end of that in just a second. Smite is a 50-plus year ministry here. As far as I can tell, we've been as far as Canada, as far west as Omaha, Nebraska, and all over the United States. And so we haven't hit every state by any means, but it was something that was put in place well before I came on staff at Cleveland Baptist Church. As we said a moment ago, 29 people saved last year. When we were in Cleveland, obviously we're a little bit more familiar with our surroundings. We have an existing bus route there. We had 109 people saved in that bus campaign, parks campaign. Wonderful. You may be familiar with Athens, Ohio, or a suburb of Athens. I think it's called the Plains is technically where the church is, Bible Truth Baptist Church, Brother Peachy. That's in 2022. Had a great campaign there. And obviously OU is there, so maybe not exactly welcoming towards the gospel. Believe it or not, they let us lodge there. That's where we slept for the whole week. So God opens doors. It's an amazing thing. It really is. It's something. In 2021, we didn't have our campaign in 2020. Obviously, I'm sure some peculiar thing happened. I'm sure you never heard of it. But in 2021, we went to a place called Pontoon Beach. I don't know why they call it there. There's no beach. It is very desolate, but it's a little suburb of St. Louis. And so had a great campaign there. Lots of souls evangelized there. We were in Norwalk, Ohio. 10 clubs, 16 saved. And they are still living on some of the fruits from that ministry. I just called him on Pastor Rich Foreman just a couple months ago. And I asked him, are you still receiving benefit from the Smite campaign? He said, yes, we are. And actually, that's what started our bus route there. So that was really something that was wonderful. Of course, in 2018, you know, just to go back just a little bit farther, things were a little bit different. This is before the pandemic. And, you know, as far as that's concerned, and it was after September 11th, you know, so we were sort of living in this kind of sandwich time. You know, we're sort of living in these inflection points. We had 58 people saved. That was wonderful. And we were averaging about 200 in the Bible clubs themselves. So that is multiplied people coming out. You know how it goes. You know, some people are very, in their own box, so to speak, just ordering food to the house or even, you know, just sort of parking in a parking spot. Not that there's anything wrong with that necessarily, but that kind of creates a scenario where you sort of box yourself in. So that was at a time where there were more people out, and that was wonderful. That was really great. Every year is different. In 2016, we were in Columbus, and we had 10 Bible clubs in the city of Columbus. And there were Bible stories, little snacks and games and the balloon animals. We do snow cones. We have a children's evangelist that comes in who's wonderful, captivating kids' attention. He does all sorts of magic tricks and things like that, or illusions, if the word magic scares you, you know, whatever the case may be. But does all sorts of wonderful. Brother Chase Williams has done a phenomenal job here these last few years. Some of my favorite stories from the Smite campaign have been, we were in upstate New York, which is nearby, about 45 minutes out of Lake Placid, so you know that area, so very cold, as far as that's concerned, and sometimes cold spiritually as well. And even in that area, we were able to get 10 people saved, which was truly wonderful, and 78 follow-ups. I mean, that's the thing to kind of think about, because what we try to do with, when we reach them in, whether it's with the bus ministry, whether it's in the children's evangelistic service, or whether it's in the parks ministry itself, we try to keep an adequate log of who's there so we can follow up with them later. We'll talk about that in just a second as well. One of my favorite stories from New York was, I wouldn't call it like an ethnically diverse area necessarily, but we happened to have a young man with us that could speak fluent Spanish, and we found the only Spanish-speaking person, it seemed like, in that part of the country. And they were able to lead them to the Lord. I mean, it was wonderful. It was just such a blessing that was straight from God. In our Columbus campaign, there was a young man, you know, kind of a shy kid at the time, probably not as much anymore, but he himself was able to lead 7 people by himself to the Lord. And I look at those things as treasures. You know, so people would say, well, why are you investing in another ministry and not yourselves? We are big proponents of the Great Commission at Cleveland Baptist Church. We believe in outreach, and we believe in the local church. And so Pastor Pete Folger, my pastor, had reached out to me and spoke with Pastor Ray. And we had an existing connection already. I thought it was good. And we got a chance together, and I got a chance to hear your pastor's heart on several things. I got a chance to hear him preach, and what a phenomenal preacher, certainly. So I'm sorry you have to hear me today, that's for sure. But come back next week if you're a visitor. Don't be shy. But I told him the secret to his preaching is his voice. I was like, he needs to start narrating the scriptures. I would listen to that every day. He's got that nice, smooth bass. That is very good. But I got a chance to hear his burden for Finley and really the miraculous story and how this church got started. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. You have a blessed group of people here that are willing to put their blood, sweat, and tears into this property. I just want to tell you, as an outsider, that is not always common. And just to be able to have some men that just put their nose to the grindstone, so to speak, and man, they are putting down carpet and painting and sheetrock and all of it, all of which, believe it or not, my church does not trust me with. And so it is what it is. So you can tell I'm extraordinarily jealous as well, you know, seeing your abilities. So, but that is wonderful. It's a beautiful property. It really is. And more than that, it is a beautiful church. And so, and the church is the people. And I have come to really appreciate just getting the chance to get to know you here, even in this short while. The Bible says in Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Notice how the Bible says he went into cities and villages. Now, Finley's a big city. It's a big city. But I'll tell you, we've been to some villages. We've been to some small towns. And on one Smite campaign, it created a little bit of a door-knocking issue, but some of the houses were about a 7-minute walk apart. That's just to do the door-knocking aspect. So we had to kind of reevaluate how we were doing some door-knocking. Some of our kids would walk 7 miles in one morning. It was really something, just the amount of walking that they would do. And that's not to say it's not worth it. The point is Jesus went into the villages, and that's what counts. It's because in the end, we want souls saved. We want to see people enter the kingdom of God. I'd like to, at this time, stop talking for just a second, because you know I can talk about Smite just about all day. But I found in our digital age, it just seems to be a little bit better if you can see some of the things that we're talking about. So I'll ask Brother Ray, if you don't mind queuing this up. Then we'll come back for one last digital piece. So this is in Cleveland, actually. Thank you. So that's just a short little snippet of the outdoor Bible clubs where we we canvas a community, door knock a community. We get some park permits to try to rent a space in the park so that they have a common space to go to. So when we were in Cleveland, I think we had about 15, maybe 14 Bible clubs that we had for that particular year, as far as that's concerned. That was 2 years ago. And then we have an evangelistic service in the evening. Our pastor comes and he holds a night-by-night revival, and the culmination would be to hear from Pastor Ray on Sunday. And in the evening, we also have a concurrent children's revival that's taking place. And usually we have a large tent that we bring. Looks like property is not your issue, so I think it'll fit fine in the back. And so so we'll go from there, unless you have some green laws we have to kind of work through, so we'll talk about that. And even if that's an issue, you know, the upstairs is beautiful. I mean, unbelievable. So I'm assuming you probably would be upstairs, provided that it's finished. No pressure. But certainly, I mean, that looks really like it's something. It really is great. So the SMITE campaign, really, as we said, is twofold. We get to train our own teens on how to win a child to the Lord, how to win sometimes a teen or an adult to the Lord that gets reached by the campaign. And at the same time, we get to invest into your church. Now, the question is, how much does this cost your ministry? And the answer is, it costs you nothing. The only thing it might cost is for a hair, we might turn the lights on. I hope that's okay, you know, as far as that's concerned. And we'll work through some of those details as well. But there are some ways that you can help. And so the cost would not necessarily be financial. It would be time. And so we do ask, if possible, that you can come alongside our ministry. So what would that look like? Well, it would look like putting yourself in the way of a blessing. And here are some five or six ways, if you want to think about them, if we can make down the road maybe a sign-up sheet for this, and we'll can talk about this. But we give our shirts, our kids, two shirts. You notice they didn't just all come wearing a blue shirt, but everyone gets two SMITE shirts that they get to keep, and we wash them every day. So we alternate one, and they wash. So they're wearing effectively the same thing all week, as far as that's concerned. But that does create a need for someone to launder these shirts. We also have something called our SMITE shirts in the evening. They are blue polos that we wear in the evenings for the evening services, just to look a little bit more classy for the evening service. And so as far as that's concerned, so if you're able to participate in this area, that would be a big blessing. And we could talk about what like a morning drop-off each day would look like as far as that's concerned. Another thing that you could help us with is I haven't gotten a chance to do a full survey of Findlay. I've just done a little bit of driving. Let's say, I'm just throwing out a number, we had 10 Bible clubs. And so we would need 10 coolers if that would be something that you would allow us to borrow from you and we would return. And also, if for some reason we break it, we will replace it. So that did happen last year. So there was this little cooler and I felt terrible about it. So we would replace it too. So never fear, your cooler is in good hands. That would be a big blessing. And the reason why we ask for that is because we have a snow cone machine and we bring snow cones to the park. And then it's just less to take on the road with us. That's a big blessing. Another thing, if you can help us with, is, and again, this is between you and the Lord, if you want to do this, we're certainly not forcing anyone to do it, but if you could donate some water bottles. And the water bottles are helpful when our kids are door knocking. Typically the morning door knocking outreach effort is about 8 to noon. They'll break for lunch right around noon. And then between 1 and 3 is the Outdoor Bible Club campaign, where they're actually performing some sort of Bible story, application story, the lesson for that day, songs, games, and they get creative. That's one of the beauties of the SMITE campaign. It allows for a little bit of creativity and autonomy for our group leaders and the SMITE workers themselves. But they get a little parched on the road, so to speak. So if that's something you're able to do, that is another area you could help. Another area you can help is that because we take kids sort of away from their parents for about a week, is if you're able to, if you could bake a dozen or even two dozen just cookies or brownies or something so small. Seems so small, right? It's like, why is this guy asking us for cookies? Number one, I have pre-diabetes. No, just kidding. As far as that's concerned. But number two, it's just the fact of having a little homey snack, a home away from home. We work these kids as effectively from, we ask them to get to breakfast right around 7:15, 7:30, And then they don't get to bed around 10 to 11 o'clock at night, typically. And these are kids that are paying to work. And so it's just a nice little touch that we can give our kids. And so if that's something you could do, that would be a blessing. If it's not, that's fine too. The last thing is the thing that I would ask you to really consider the most. And it is the Saturday culmination visitation day. And on the Saturday, what we usually do is we'll have our host pastor preach to our teens directly, and that starts at 9, and then right around at the 10 o'clock hour, we'll go out into the community and we ask for the church body to come and take our teens for their best or even all their follow-ups. And so some might have 10 very good follow-ups, you know, and the express purpose of that is to get them to come to church the next day in our finale service, you know, on a Sunday morning, and they'll hear from the host pastor, and it wouldn't be from our, of course, I think you'll enjoy my pastor. I'm a little partial to him, of course, you know, but just to hear who is the God-called local pastor here at Foundation Baptist Church and Brother Ray. That is the purpose of that, and we come up with different gimmicks along the way as far as that's concerned. But if you're able to help, I think that would be a tremendous blessing. Now, is it possible will grow dramatically? It is possible. Is it possible you'll have incremental growth? Hopefully, yes. Hopefully, it could be nothing. I don't want to come in and make all sorts of promises. All I can tell you is we have had tons of success in the last 50 plus years in this campaign. Now, people are different, but their need is the same. It's the fact that they need Jesus. It's the fact that they are sinners, and the fact that there's a God in heaven that loves them, and we want to tell them about Jesus Christ. I want to just add one last thing, if we can put our slideshow in. This is the clicker right here to the side. By God's providence here, the pastor from our SMITE campaign last year in Willingboro, New Jersey, happened to be in Cleveland earlier this week. And my Friday was nuts. I mean, it was just crazy. Leading into my Saturday was even crazier. And he goes, "Hey, I'm in town. Do you have time to get a call?" I'm like, "Yes," you know, just because I was, you know, really, you know, trying to strap the last bit of my energy together. But, you know, of course you can't say no. Well, I'm so glad I did. We got a cup of coffee together. And he goes, "I just wanted to show you some of the fruit that has lasted from the SMITE campaign." He said they've had about 24 people that have been regularly attending the church and 5 families that have joined since last year. And that is really something. That's been wonderful. And then he also did this. He also has a great smile. Isn't that great? A four class discipleship, introductory discipleship program that people will take when they become members of their church. So these folks that have completed this discipleship program in this particular church over at Calvary Baptist in Willingboro. Multiple people have completed this discipleship program. I mean, it is awesome. They've had 2 families that have joined by baptism and some by transfer of letter. And these are just some other folks that have been visiting. And it has just been wonderful to see. And all I can tell you is the Lord just seems to give the increase. Now, there is a way this campaign can fail. And it is possible. And it is if we don't pray for it. And I've made the mistake before, and perhaps you have a testimony where something similar has happened, where you had the talent, you had everything in place, the plan was in place, but we just didn't marinate the campaign in prayer. That was a mistake on my part, and I've made that mistake before, and I just want you to know I'm going to be praying for this campaign, and I ask you to do the same. That is the most important thing, I should say, that you should be doing for this particular campaign, as far as that's concerned. And the great E.M. Bounds once said, on prayers, the wings of angels move, as far as that's concerned, to do God's will. And so I probably butchered the quote a little bit, but it goes a little something like that. And so as far as that's concerned, I ask you to pray and join in this campaign. I am very excited for this SMITE campaign. I just love the spirit of your pastor. I love the community. This is how I know it's the right spot. I start falling in love with the town. I can't explain it. It's just a really funny thing. I go on these little survey trips, and I'm like, man, I really love this place. And it just something kicks in. It's just like this little confirmation from the Lord. Well, with that, I ask you to pray about this, and I'd like to bridge into our message, because the SMITE work is a great work. It's a great work. It's a great work, not just because of its quantity, but because We believe it is a reflection of the gospel. We believe it is the reflection of the evangelistic fervor that Christ wants us to give. Now, you might not find parks ministry in the Bible. You might not find bus ministry in the Bible, but the Spirit certainly is there, isn't it? And so as far as that's concerned, I want you to consider what we're going to call the message today, the pursuit of greatness. The pursuit of greatness. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 4, it says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make us a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came in thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant," this is Elisha, "call this Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, "Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among mine people." The pursuit of greatness. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your mind today. We ask for your ability today, Lord. We'd be good with time. And Father, Lord, would you allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak through thy word? Lord, would you bless your word today in Christ's name? Amen. Now, perhaps you're a fan of sports and athletics, and we would consider the greatest athletes perhaps that have ever lived. Maybe you'd say Michael Jordan. Maybe you'd say LeBron James. Maybe you'd say Wayne Gretzky. Maybe you'd say Bo Jackson, Jim Brown, or Deion Sanders. We would look to these men and say these are great athletes. They have accomplished feats unknown perhaps to you and I, but they have this unique ability to throw a ball or to run or pass or shoot. They have this unique ability to jump to new heights. Perhaps it's athletics when you think of greatness. Or perhaps you think of great minds. Great minds are certainly unique to American history and beyond. Maybe you think of Nikola Tesla. What an amazing mind. Perhaps a little poor with money, but an amazing mind. Or the great Beethoven. Beautiful music. Just touching the ear and the heart. Or maybe the great Ben Franklin, what an amazing thinker, when we think in the foundation of our great country. Or Sir Isaac Newton, what an incredible mind as well. Or maybe you're into you would call yourself literati of some sort, and you're into the literature. Perhaps it is Shakespeare that you would say that greatness is in this reflection. Maybe it's not athletics, maybe it's not a great mind. Perhaps it is men who are great in stature. Maybe you would think of anyone in the National Basketball Association or a man named Robert Wadlow, who was nearing 10 feet tall in the Guinness Book of World Records. Amazing, an amazing height, an amazing man. Maybe you think great, not just intellectually, certainly that's there, but financially as well. You would think of men like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. Now, it's one thing to be greatest in your craft. It's one thing perhaps to be a great singer, or a great financier of some sort, or a great businessman. It's another thing to be called great by God himself. Imagine the scriptures being written by you, written by God about you. And he said, "Such and such Mike Smith was a great man," or "such and such Linda Smith was a great woman." And what we find here is a great woman. The Bible makes it very clear that the Shunammite woman was great in character. Now, perhaps she had some finances. It's possible. Perhaps maybe she was very tall. I suppose the Bible doesn't say. But really, by the looks of the passage, it's because she was great in character. She was great in character. That strikes our minds, because as Christians then, it calls us to strive for greatness. Not for our own good, not for our own reward, not for our own pride, but to strive for the greatness that God calls us to live according to his will and according to his word. Maybe that greatness looks like the start of a great revival, Or maybe that greatness looks like a message preached that creates some sort of vitality in others, and others come to agree and enjoy, and what an incredible message that is preached from God's word. Perhaps it is that kind of greatness. Or what is it's the greatness of massive numbers in young men and young women being called to ministry. I don't know exactly what that greatness would look like. All I can tell you is, perhaps it is God that is calling us to this greatness in character. The question then becomes is, what does greatness look like according to the Bible? Number one, it looks like hospitality. It looks like hospitality. The Bible says in verse 8 and in verse 10, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." Verse 10, she says, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." Go figure, he does. Now, what's really striking is that Elisha is now the second in command, so to speak. Elijah was the big dog, so to speak, right? He was the one that was raptured into the air on a chariot of fire. And now it is Elisha now that the people are doubting. Remember those poor children that doubted his ascent. Well, of course, the Lord, I guess, had the last word on that one. Nevertheless, it is the fact that Elisha now, he is, in fact, a man of God. Now, what's really amazing about this woman is that she says, "I perceive to be that this is a man of God." Was it the way that he walked? Was it the fact that Gehazi, depending on how you pronounce it, he was his personal servant, under his tutelage, maybe, you know, following him, he tended to bring about some sort of authority. Who knows why? Is there a certain walk that a man of God has? If you know it, I'd really love to know it, because I'd like to copy it if I can. Nevertheless, she was able to perceive that this man had need, and her heart of hospitality opens up for this man. Notice how the Bible says she constrained him to eat bread. You know what that means? Constrained, to urge irresistibly or powerfully, compelled, forced, restrained, confined, bound, even imprisoned. Amazing. So this is what the constrained to eat bread looks like. Oh, you have to stay. Oh, no, you look so hungry. No, you have to turn in thither. And he's like, "Oh, no, I'm fine." I mentioned I was from the Middle East in the first hour here. And you cannot imagine the amount of hospitality that exists in the Middle East. My dad, when people come over with having just had dinner. He goes, "Oh, you have to have a bite to eat." "No, I just had dinner." "So no," and he starts bringing out food after plate after plate. I've had friends that come to our house with me not even there, and they say, "Your parents put on a spread for us. What happened?" And it is that sort of days of antiquity, Middle Eastern, Semitic hospitality. You know, I'm thankful to be an American with our Judeo-Christian ethic. There's a spirit of American hospitality, isn't there? You know, there's that even Ohio hospitality. You know, you can always tell an Ohioan everywhere you go. Anytime I'm out of state and people say anything about Ohio, I look at them in the eye and I'm like, "Well, I think we're done with this conversation." I just walk away. I love this state. And I love where I live. I love it. And there's a certain Midwest hospitality that, man, I have grown up with living around here. It's the type of town, Findlay and Cleveland, these are the types of towns, when you're sick, somebody brings you a meal. When you just moved in, someone brings you a casserole. That's the kind of town these towns are. That hospitality. And it looked like the Shunammite woman almost forced him to turn in thither so that she could exercise a moment of hospitality on this man. It also looks like perception. Verse 9. "And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." Abigail Van Buren once said, "The best index to a person's character is how he treats people who can't do him any good, and how he treats people who can't fight back." Well, that is good. It is the perception that there are other people in need. It's good to be somebody who would be so spiritually conscious that they're able to detect the work of God in another person's life too. Notice how she perceives this to be a man of God. So there was something about the character of Elijah, but there is something about the person who has the perception to look for it. You never walk in a store, you just get a sense, "I wonder if that group of people are Christians over there." You ever walk to those, in old distant family reunions and you haven't seen people in 30 years, and your old cousin who lived a certain way and now lives a certain way, I wonder if he became a Christian. I wonder if he's saved now. It is that idea, that second perception, it seems that God gives his sons and daughters. This is a man of God. This is a believer here. It looks like that type of greatness. What else does it look like? Take a look at verses 12 through 15. The Bible says, "And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my people. And he said, what then is this done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door." It looks like joyful and good intentions. So here's a gal that really wants to be a blessing. That's all she wants to do. Years ago, we had a Smite campaign, and they would clean the shirts, and they would write encouraging notes in all the shirts. And after a while, I was like, brother, that is a lot of work. You don't have to do that. That is crazy. You know, but we were thankful, and we're not asking you to do that if you end up laundering shirts. But that was kind of cute. I thought that was nice. There are other people along the way that would just see a kid in need in the youth ministry and say, you know what? I'd like to sponsor this kid for camp. I'd like to sponsor this kid for the Smite campaign. Man, I have had a front row seat to see the goodness and godliness of God's people just through no desire to be blessed back, want to be a blessing to another person. Like good intentions. Here's what she says. They say, what do you want in exchange? And she says, I dwell among mine people. You know what she's saying? I'm fine. I'm fine getting lost in a crowd. I'm fine. I'm fine to dwell among my people. That is all I need. She is joyful to do it. Now, it also looks like something else, because someone with great character usually means they had to conquer something. It is rare the person that is completely good out of the womb and completely good to the death. In fact, we only have one case. His name is Jesus. Then there's the rest of us. Verse 16, and he said about this season, according to the time of life, let me go back to verse 15. And he said, call her. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about the season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And here's what happened. She said, I don't really need anything. Well, this Gehazi, the servant, has kind of a sharp eye, you know, and he sees that there's no child for this mama-to-be. And you know, it's very difficult. And if you've experienced this, my prayers go out to you. But for a mother that can't have kids, because in her heart she knows that that's what she wants to be. And it is a great sadness when you start to see some folks along the way that just they weren't able to have children. But I've had a few friends over the years. It's of great difficulty for them when they just can't seem to have kids, those precious children, those precious images of God himself. It's striking. The Bible says in Genesis 5 that Adam bore a son after his own image. Those rugrats look like you. And it rips your heart out. I mean, it kills you. You'd do anything for them. So Elisha says, you know what? You're going to have a baby. And she says, it's like she winces. You feel it in the text. Nay, my Lord, do not lie to thy servant. It's like, I didn't even ask for this. I didn't want this. I'm not asking you for anything. Don't hit me where it hurts. Sometimes that greatness looks like an internal struggle you had to get through. Greatness looks more like something else that we all will need to devolve into. And every once in a while, we get everything we want from God, So the baby comes, the Bible says. We get everything we desire. It's like everything is perfect. Then tragedy strikes. The Bible says in verse 18, "And when the child was grown, it fell on day. He went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out." The Bible says this baby was on the Shunammite woman's knees until noon. Now, I can't imagine exactly what it looked like, but I have to imagine it looked like a mother who loves her child just sort of shushing the pain. Shh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Shh. And he's crying out, my head, my head, my head, until noon. Shh. And then he passes. But the greatness is not the character that you and I were born with. The greatness is not the thing that you and I were gifted with. Perhaps you're athletic, or you're good with money, or you're some sort of intellect of some sort. That's not the greatness. The greatness is knowing that we are nothing, and only God can help us. So the Bible says she lays her child on the old dorm room of the man of God, the prophet's chamber, and she runs to him. In verse 23, the Bible says that God had blinded Elisha from exactly knowing what was wrong with the Shunammite woman, because she was coming so voraciously through all sorts of Middle Eastern traffic. I can't imagine what it looked like. And she is running, and she has bitterness of soul. The Bible says this in verse 23. Verse 22, he says, is it well? Is it well with thee? Is it well with the child? She says this in verse 23. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him this day? Is it neither new moon or Sabbath? And she said, it shall be well. Excuse me, just to backtrack. She tells her husband, it is going to be okay. And then she meets the man of God. Verse 26, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. We sing that song, It Is Well, don't we? What a beautiful song. What an amazing history behind that song. But there's a big difference between leaving a baby deceased in an old bedchamber, knowing somehow it's going to be okay by some sort of divine dispensation, and then reaching the man of God who you reached out to. You didn't ask for a baby. You didn't ask for a gift. And she knew, as long as I get to the man of God, it's going to be well. It looks like greatness is not just hospitality and humility and all these things. It looks like dependence on God himself, knowing that somehow God will take care of this. Well, verse 37 is how this thing ends. Elisha goes into the room. He breathes into this young man. It's an amazing story. And the young man sneezes 7 times. Now, you're like, Brother Wissam, what does that mean? I don't know, but if you find out, I'd like for you to tell me what that means, those 7 sneezes. But the young man comes back to life. And verse 37 says, then she went in and fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son, and went out. It looks like humility. You see, the question then becomes, what was the secret of her greatness? The secret was, she deferred to the desires of God and the needs of others around her. You know, you could say it like this. She loved God, and she loved people. Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. who is the greatest person you know? It's probably because whoever that person is in your mind, it's probably because you are thinking of a great love for God that they have and a great love for people that they have. Now here's the question that we all have to answer. Will we choose this pursuit of greatness? Will we put all our dependence on God, whatever it looks like? Will we love Him most and love people second? Will we? Because the option is, or the alternative, excuse me, is not doing those things. We don't really have to love God. We don't really have to love people. We are free, autonomous creatures made in the image of God, and all of us have this choice for us to make in this life. Either we love Him and love His people, or we don't. This summer, you have an opportunity in the SMITE campaign to love God and love people. You have an opportunity to go out into the community. And Finley, I have to guess, is probably full of unsaved men and unsaved gals and unsaved children and unsaved teens. And you will probably have some in your own circle as well. And those are people that God loves. Those are people that God bled and died for. Those are people where God had, He's just willing and waiting to pay for their debt when they come to Him. He wants them saved. Now here's the question. This greatness looks like a love of God and a love of people. Well, maybe the SMITE campaign doesn't work, and that's fine. Maybe this greatness is helping your pastor with his soul winning program. Or maybe in a future Sunday school campaign of some sort. Or maybe inviting others to Foundation Baptist Church to meet Jesus Christ. Maybe it's putting them in a place that I think we all know cares for them and bringing them here. I'm impressed with this Shunammite woman. I really am. She is great, isn't she? What a great woman. There's a sense, though, where it feels like there was a passing time where people, they're not as hospitable as they used to be. People aren't as humble as they used to be. And you know, nobody quite relies on God the way they once did. As we're not hearing these great Moody revivals anymore, these great Spurgeon revivals, and these amazing, you know, sometimes in our mind, we have ourselves deceived that this was a passing time. And we read about these great characters in the scriptures, and we say, well, that was true for them, but this is 2025. My friend, it is the same God who commands us to love Him and love people.